We are now going to go to our third speaker. Is it we've got a lot of Michelles. Is this Michelle or where are you, dear? I'm looking for Michelle. And if we need to get you unmuted, I see her waving. There she goes. Let me see if I can do it. You're on like the third screen. There you are.
Okay, yes. Hello. There are a lot of Michelles.
There are a
There
lot of
are.
Michelles. Do you need
There
to
are.
have access to screen sharing for
Oh,
anything?
God, no. I shut the whole thing down. I've never done
Okay.
anything like that before.
Okay, then. You've got your time there, dear. Go.
All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Michelle M. I'm a recovered compulsive eater bulimic, and I live in Oklahoma until 5 a.m. tomorrow when I'm hopping in my moving van with my dog and going to Arizona. And I'll get to that. I do want to say that it really is an honor to be here today. My sponsor, who was in the New Jersey intergroup, called me one day and said, I think you need to do service. And I said, okay. And 5 minutes later, I got an email saying she had committed me to this. And it's funny because prior to the shift that I've experienced recently, I would have been so mad. It's in the middle of my moving day. But it's just been such a welcome break from my moving day. And it's been a real joy to see everybody. I want to start out with giving you a little bit of background because my self-centered fear, which was my driving force until I got abstinent, started when I was really young. I don't know if I was born a compulsive eater. I know there's addiction in my family. But I lived in a family where outsides was everything. Public approval. I grew up in politics. My dad was in public office statewide, and we lived in this little petri dish, and we always had to look perfect. But the thing is nobody was talking about what was going on at home. My parents were back and forth. I mean, it was abject chaos, but we had this persona. And I didn't quite fit that persona because I was a little husky. My favorite word. And I got in trouble for it. I got punished for it. Publicly, my parents thought that shame was the best way to discipline us. And knowing where they came from, it makes perfect sense. And I've done a lot of work on that. What my takeaway from that was is it's all about the outside. Something's wrong with me because my sister was thin. And I was uncomfortable in my own skin all of the time. And my mom would put me on these like grapefruit and egg diets and stuff when I was like 10, 11, and 12. And I just felt like totally unskilled and not in my shoes. And I just felt myself shrinking further and further and further away internally to place to where I could hide. And I drew friends that were like that. And so all I wanted to be was thin, because if I was thin, I would be loved. I'd get the cute guy, you know, all that stuff. I'd be Marsha Brady. And that's all I wanted to be, with Marsha Brady. And then when I was 15, my best friend's sister, who was a cheerleader, told us about a great way to manage your weight was sticking your finger down your throat. I'm like, oh my God, have your cake and eat it too. And for a long time, bulimia was my way of managing my weight. And until it wasn't, you know, and I couldn't keep it a secret. My parents found out about it. I mean, they were sending me to psychiatrists and how long will this take? And I need to also tell you too that I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I bring it up because if I wasn't drinking, I was eating. I was on a 24 cycle of anesthesia because I had no idea how to live in the real world. I got married in Alcoholics Anonymous, And that's one of my big patterns. I find a destination I want or think I should have, and then I go there because I'm afraid I won't get it. And then I married my husband, and then I dated him. I divorced him, and then we separated. So it was all about this destination of what I thought I could have. And in that destination was going to be this beautiful life, but I never got there. I never got there. And we moved to Oklahoma. And for the first time in my life, I was away from home. And I thought he was my problem. And I am binging and purging throughout our entire marriage. You know, he was in AA, binging and I took out a septic system. My binging and purging took out our septic system. So it's, there were in my teeth. My mouth has been rebuilt. I like to say I drive a Ferrari and it's garaged. But the fact of the matter is I have a rebuilt mouth all from stomach acid, from binging and purging. You know, and it's not pretty, and it was very, very shameful. And no one else in my family is in recovery. So I just kind of felt like I didn't deserve anything, and I had no self-esteem whatsoever. And one of the ways for me to combat that was to fill the hole, you need more. And to get more, you consume. And you consume more. And I went on this 15-year spending spree of food to hide, buying things for a life that I thought I would want. But underneath it all was that disease that just kept talking to me, even in AA. And then I went to an OA meeting from somebody from my AA group, and I heard somebody say they had an allergy to sugar. And that got my attention. And right next door was a HOW meeting. So I walked right on over to HOW, signed me up, got into HOW, was abstinent for 9 years. And I'm saying abstinent, I wasn't recovered. I did the deal. I did the food plan. I did the meetings. I did the step work, but I didn't get the God thing. What's the God thing? So I had all these tools, but I had no way to deal with all this stuff that was coming up. I didn't know how. I was stark raving abstinent, so I got in a relationship, totally unavailable. And I stayed abstinent for 9 years. And when that relationship ended, about a year later, my abstinence, I relapsed. And my first thought was, what are people going to think? That was my first thought. It, because that's all I cared about. Because if you could like me, then I could like me. And I treated myself horribly, horribly. So I was in relapse for 12 years. And further isolating and isolating. Now I have no family here. I work at home and I live by myself. So it was a perfect recipe to isolate and eat. I will tell you that I've had to file bankruptcy because of food and binging and purging. I've had to sell family jewelry to pay for my dental work. I've had to do things that I never ever thought I would do, and done things that I never ever thought I would do in disease. I got to a place where I was going to lose another tooth. I was going to lose another tooth, and I had all my teeth are capped round one. Then I started losing teeth. I've had to have implants, and this stuff isn't free. I mean, it's expensive, but none of that stopped me. Taking out a septic system didn't stop me. Spending money on you know, the bankruptcy and all that didn't stop me. So here I was, and I ran into somebody who used to be my AA sponsor who never got into OA recovery, but she was in OA recovery out of the big book. And I saw her, I hadn't seen her in years, and I said, "Hey, can I call you? You know, I'm still trying to act like I have my act together. You know, my look good was intact." 2 days later, I was in the parking lot just after having another tooth removed, a mouthful of stitches. It was December 13th of 2023. And I called her. And I said, "I'll do whatever you say." Just tell me what to do. I know you can't sponsor. Can I call you every day? Can I commit my food? Can I do this and that? And I don't want, and I would, it wasn't like this big God moment. It wasn't, hallelujah, I'm here. I was almost on autopilot, and I thank God for that. And I've been abstinent since then, but I've also been in recovery. And it worked out, timing. I was going home for Christmas and I had a mouthful of stitches, literally. So it's like I couldn't eat. I could barely chew. So I made it through Christmas. I got home and I started Vision for You, got a sponsor, and we went through the steps. And that's when I really started to realize how I got the relief, but I didn't get the recovery. Because the recovery is what comes in the 12 steps. And a real turning point for me was I got to the end of the steps and my sponsor said, "Okay, you're recovered now." I'm like, "Wait a minute, there's got to be something else." So I found somebody else to work with, and we went through the book in a way that I've never gone through it before, ever. I was able to see my self-centeredness in a way that I had never, ever seen it before. And it was really sobering. It was, I never thought of myself as self-centered. Oh my God. But the great thing is about that is that I eased out of that, out of judgment, into a real yearning to get well. And I didn't really have a relationship with God, but I had a turning point there too in step two, about fixed ideas. I didn't realize my ideas were fixed about prejudice. I thought prejudice was something that was a social issue for racism, literally. And I got to learn new meanings, and I got to learn it's okay to have your own concept of God. And I love the part in the book where it says we are like men that have lost our legs. We never grow new ones. If I don't have legs, I have to be carried. And that's where God comes in. And it has been an amazing, amazing life that I've had for the last 2 years. But a lot of these things that I've had these little turning points, and where I am right now, I've just finished my fifth step and I'm working on ideals. Okay, I've been in AA for in and out for 35 years. No one ever told me about working on an ideal for a relationship. Never heard of it. A 10 step is something that you do after you make a mistake. So I'm learning the steps in a whole new way. And I got to delete the tape that I've read this book so many times. I got it. I don't got it. I don't got it. But what I am is I'm getting it. And I work every day for it. And one of the coolest things that I am feeling right now about recovery and where I am and what I do to keep it is I am safe and protected. No matter what. And that is something I never ever thought I would feel. Safe and protected. A recent example of that, this morning I'm having breakfast and my realtor calls and says the buyer has to extend closing until December 5th. What? My van is packed. I did not pick up the phone. I know better now. To say what I wanted to say. So I paused, prayed, proceeded, said, "Let's get it taken care of." But after that, I was like, "I'm safe and protected." I never would have got there. And it's starting to be default now. And it's not because I woke up one day, it's because I keep working the steps, recognizing that I don't know it all. Another thing is that my life is opening up in ways I never could have imagined. And part of it is this move. I'll be closer to family. But for instance, I went to the Vision for You convention, saw people I'd heard forever, and I'm leaving for the airport. And I see this woman that I have heard and seen on meetings. And I said, "Oh my God, you're so and so." So we start talking. Okay, she's on my flight. So great. Get to the airport. Three delays later, I have to go to United. She's doing something else. And we were back and forth talking the whole time. I had to spend the night in the Newark airport on the floor. And I'm just like, okay, this is not what I imagined. I didn't starve. I did the unthinkable. I picked up the phone and I called another airline and said, can you get me home? I didn't have to call the president of American because I knew he wanted to hear my opinion about how ridiculous they were being. It was life on life's terms. It's not only happening to me. And I got a flight and I got home the next day. But I didn't have to lose it. It was life on life's terms. And when I'm with God and in alignment, everything works out so beautifully, not the way I would have imagined, you know? And so what's really important to me is my relationship with God, who I call my creator because it makes me smile. And it's an ongoing thing. It is an ongoing thing. And I'm learning. I am learning. I hope to get to the place where my sponsor is. And I think I will. But I'm learning one day at a time more and more to trust God and let go of the outcome because I was all about outcomes. And as far as abstinence, yes, it is not the most important thing in my life. I thought it was a long time ago, but it's not. And I do eat a weighed and measured food plan. I commit it. I don't eat anything in between. I don't do any I don't do any of my alcoholic foods. I know what they are. If it's got sugar or flour, it doesn't belong anywhere near me. And I honestly have been completely relieved of the obsession. And with the obsession removed for food, like it says in the 12 and 12, the obsession may be removed, but the mania of Michelle remains. And it's that gray matter between my ears that will get me into places where if I don't work this program and follow the steps, my mouth becomes a weapon of mass destruction. And I don't have to live that way anymore. I am tempted on a daily basis, especially at work. You know, I call it my tolerance project. But what I get to do is lead with service. How can I be of service? How can I be of help? How would God want me be? How would God have me be? And that has been a complete game changer for me. Complete. And I get guidance on that. And when I do that, it's things happen that I can't explain, that I think I'm good. God has it so much better than I could ever imagine. And it's big things and it's little things. But that's what life is, big things and little things, you know? And so I'm in a place of gratitude. I am feeling safe and secure. I'm getting in this big ass truck tomorrow and I am driving the road with my dog, but I'm safe and protected. I have insurance. I've got my food packed. And I've got God, I've got a telephone, and I've got people in this program that I can call, and I know that I'm not alone. And I thought that I would, about 6 weeks before I got abstinent, again, I was going for a walk, and I said, well, you know, if I just stay here in Tulsa and binge and purge every day, and that's okay. And I'm so glad I'm not there. You know, I'm so glad that I'm not there. And, you know, I can take myself with me wherever I go. The fourth and the fifth step have been miraculous. I don't have to duck behind potted palms. I can find people. I'm rigorously honest. And, you know, to somebody who's not in our program and lives by our principles, that might sound arrogant or unseemly, or you're so noble. And it's like, this is what the big book teaches us is living this beautiful, clean life. And it's not all roses. But it's beautiful. And I have so much to be grateful for. You know, When I got into this disease, I didn't date. I flunked out of college. I went back and got my degree, but I didn't do all of that stuff. So here I am at 62, starting Michelle 2.0, and I'm gonna go do all that stuff because now I am free from the bondage of self. I have a daily reprieve and the worst hangover I have ever had in my life, aside from white wine. It's a bondage of self hangover. I mean, it's like coming down from sugar, you know, like you wake up and you're almost in this haze, this incomprehensible demoralization of a bondage of self hangover. And then there's that long list of amends. So I really want to thank you for being listening to me today and being a part of, and with that, I pass.